beginning today a series of just three sermons. It's an Advent sermon series on the theme, What Child Is This That Changed the World? And today's topic is He Brings Gifts of Comfort and Peace. And of course, these tie into the readings. The scripture reading, the first one I'm doing is from Isaiah 40, only reading verses 1 to 5. You will hear at the very beginning of this reading from the prophet Isaiah that God's people are comforted. And if you go on further in the book of Isaiah, for example, in chapter 57 after this, verse 14, Isaiah continues the theme we're going to hear here. He says, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way. And so what you find here is this metaphor in our readings this morning about road building. The building of roads has always been important to connect people and commerce, to make connections from one place to another. We see that even in our day and time where road building and the updating of bridges is important. But it was especially important to make sure in ancient times that roads were stone-free and clear, especially if there was a visiting official or governor or king. And that's exactly what the readings are trying to say to us this morning. Prepare the way. Remove every obstruction, if you will, from your heart. And prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And so listen as I read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, the first five verses. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term and that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then turning to the lectionary reading for today for the New Testament is from the Gospel of Mark. The first eight verses in chapter 1. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. He proclaimed, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized with you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, in the midst of the haste and hurry of this busy season, help us to take time and pause and reflect and prepare for your coming. May we clear away all the debris from our lives and celebrate you in this season. For it's in Christ's name we ask it, especially now as we come to the proclaiming of your word. In Christ's name. Amen. I want to begin this morning by sharing two stories from the beloved little devotional booklets, These Days and Our Daily Bread. The renovations we are doing continue, but we now have one of the literature racks up, and you will find for the new year, January, February, and March edition of these beloved little devotional booklets. They're just wonderful booklets. And the first story I share comes about a mother and her young daughter. It's a very simple story in one of the devotional books. You see, when the children in this particular mother's church were getting ready for the Christmas program, her daughter was practicing her songs, as you can imagine she would. And the mother overheard her daughter practicing in the privacy of her room. The mother was in the kitchen, and she heard her daughter singing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." Over and over she would sing it, preparing for that Christmas program. But as she listened more carefully, she discovered that her daughter's tune was good, but the words were a little off, because instead of singing, "With angelic host proclaim," the mother heard her daughter singing, "With jelly toast proclaim." Also in one of the booklets comes the story about the group of first graders who decided to produce with their teacher a modern, updated Christmas play. All the major characters in the play were on the chancel getting ready for the event. There was Joseph, the shepherd, the angels, the wise men from afar. All the characters except Mary were on the chancel. Shortly after the program began, in this modern, updated version, behind a bale of hay on the stage began loud moaning and groaning. In this play, Mary was in labor. And one of the first graders, sitting in the congregation, got up and ran onto the stage wearing a white coat and carrying a black bag, and behind the hay he went with Joseph. And finally, with a huge smile on his face, he came out from behind the hay carrying a baby. And he didn't say, "It's a boy or a girl." He said, "It's a God." Now, those are stories from these little devotional booklets that are just golden if you're looking for something to whet your appetite before you begin Bible study and come to worship. It's a wonderful way to prepare for Bible study, to read one of these devotional booklets. Children often make us stop and think about the real meaning of Christmas, don't they? And the things they say or the things that they do. They may not always get everything right, but they cause us to pause and think about what they've done and the true meaning of Christmas. My question is, why isn't it that adults can't do the same? Why is it that in this season of good news of our Savior's birth, we often focus on petty trivialities in our living, whether, for example, someone is saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? I hear that a lot. Why do some people suddenly, and there are people who do this, who turn into Herods, who see everything as a plot, or who are negative? Another way to say that is there is a reason that the play The Scrooge is popular, because Scrooges exist, don't they? Sadly, they do. Here's the point. Advent and Christmas are the church's seasons. They are the seasons to celebrate the coming of Christ and our Savior's birth, this child who comes to change the world. That's the story that we are called to tell. And this is the reason at this time of the year we sing hymns and songs reminding us of God's story. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, the Son of God appears. We recall this morning the fiery words of John the Baptist in the first chapter of Mark. He's preaching, "Repent and repair." Repent and prepare. We decorate our homes, we string up twinkling lights, decorate the yards, and buy gifts for loved ones, all to prepare to celebrate God's promise fulfilled in flesh and blood of a God born in a child named Jesus. But even as we prepare this year, the words can sometimes feel so bleak, can they not? There seems to be violence in our world that is unstoppable. the hill to climb toward hope and toward peace does not seem prepared for this season. You see, how can we be ready when we face a future full of greed, of cheating, of more loss, of more corruption, of more hypocrisy? The prophet Isaiah, you see, he speaks for all of us. When we read further in chapter 40 at verse 8, he writes, "Yes, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the prophet says, the word of our Lord stands forever." In other words, there are truths, eternal truths, that we need to claim and proclaim here at Christmas, given to us by the God embodied in Christ Jesus, that will never fade, never wither, and never die. And that's the joy in this season, these eternal truths. This is why Jesus was born. This is why Jesus died on the cross. You see, if we want to reclaim Christmas and the little time we have before Christmas Day now, then we have to reclaim the ways that the child changed the world. You see, we don't have to be like the world. We do have to live in it, but we don't have to be like it. And maybe, just maybe, that's why the central character of today's passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Mark, that's why, to me, he always doesn't seem to fit. He doesn't seem to fit. Every year in the Scripture readings before Christmas, one of the most unlikely characters shows up in the midst of our Christmas preparations and Advent readings. His appearance for some is like fingernails on a chalkboard. And I'm talking, of course, about the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptizer, standing there beside the Jordan River, hollering, "Repent, prepare." It doesn't seem very Christmassy often to me. And when I read it, I find myself going, how very comforting is that? But actually, you see, John is proclaiming a message of comfort and peace. He's proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And in his very words, we can receive this gift of comfort, and in comfort, we can find peace. These words echo the passage from Isaiah, you see, that we heard earlier. And so first, the first question of two I want to ask this morning is, what was the gift? What was the gift? I'm glad you asked. This gift that John was talking about, which Christ brings, comes from a clue in the very last verse that I read from Mark's Gospel, verse 8. John said, "I baptize you with water, but he," Jesus, "will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." You see, no one had ever offered that before. People viewed God as up at a high temple in the Holy of Holies. No one was to go in there except the high priest. You see, God was visioned as way off into heaven, distant and totally other from us, as if we were all abandoned and alone. And the general feeling in ancient times, often about religion, was that while God was God, God didn't care enough to get involved in our everyday, ordinary lives. But John the Baptist says a comforting word. He says, "You're wrong. And when the Messiah comes, you'll see. Each and every one of you is important to God, just as Moses or one of the prophets, because he will baptize you with the gift that he brings of the Holy Spirit." In other words, God's presence now will always be with you, near and close by. In other words, you and I are not just another worker bee in the hive. Praise be to God that we're not. We're more than that. We are indeed uniquely created to be loved by our Creator. We are created for a relationship with him, both now and in the time to come. And that's why John was trying to get everybody cleaned up. He's trying to get everybody cleaned up on the inside so that we can provide a place for this royal host to dwell within us. the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It's like the little boy dressed like the doctor, that first grader. It's a God. And so we have to ask, are you ready to receive him? Do you have all the debris out of the way and the road prepared for his coming into your life? Are you ready? The second question comes with a challenge to those of you who have already received the gift. And that question is, are you ready now that you have received it to share it with others in very unique ways? I may be wrong, but I think that God gives us his gifts not so that we just hoard them, but so that we share them with others. And when we share them with others, the Holy Spirit can work through us as God's very instruments, as we read in that nativity story about the shepherds and the wise men that will come and the way that God used them to give glory to God in the highest. All that made a great difference in the world. It changed the world, that small child. I want to close this morning with this story. In his book, Without Reservations, by Fred Elias, there's a story, it's a book about, by the way, the Holiday Inn hotel chain, Without Reservations. There's a story in it about a man named Rick, and Rick is one of those people that make you feel proud to be a member of the human race. Rick worked at the front desk of one of their hotels. And some weeks before Christmas, Rick was having a day off, and he was enjoying a day browsing through garage sales and thrift stores. At one stop, he caught bits of a conversation between a lady and her little girl. And the child in this conversation seemed to be begging her mother to buy this old, really worn-out dollhouse for $15. And the mother struggled to explain to her little girl that she only had enough money to buy her the winter coat that she needed because it was very cold where they lived. But the little girl kept pleading, "Please, please, I want that dollhouse, Mama." She promised she wouldn't even feel the cold in the future if they just could have that dollhouse. The mother's eyes, as you can imagine, welled with tears, and she purchased instead that stained, used winter coat, and they left. Now here's where the story gets a little interesting, maybe odd in our day and time, because on impulse, he hopped in his car, and he discreetly followed the mother and the little girl to their rundown house. He noted their address, and he quickly, as you would imagine, drove back to that thrift store, and he purchased that little ugly dollhouse that the girl wanted so much. And here's what he did. He went to a store and he gathered paint and fabric and tools and proceeded to renovate that worn-out dollhouse. And from his efforts, the dollhouse now sparkled. Even Santa would have been proud of it. And then in the cold, early dawn of Christmas Day, Rick loaded his treasure into his car and drove over to the little girl's house. He carefully placed the dollhouse, wrapped only with a big red bow and a tag that read, "From Santa." He placed it at the doorstep, and he left discreetly so they wouldn't be embarrassed and see him. He went on that day to serve as the manager on duty at the Holiday Inn Hotel. Can you imagine the look of awe and wonder on that little girl's face on Christmas Day? Now, I thought about this story, and on one level, I didn't like it because it doesn't seem to fit the title about a child who came to change the world. And then I thought about that. Should I use the story or not? And then I thought, here's the value in this story. The Christ that comes in this little child to change the world, when I thought about the gospel stories in his growing up, he changes the world, it seems to me, one person that he encounters at a time. And so perhaps that's the lesson for us on this second Sunday of Advent. That while you and I may not feel big enough or full enough of the Holy Spirit to change the world, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us helps us change the world. How? But one person at a time. And of course, to fit the theme of this morning of that book, we are to do that without reservation. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks, for in the story of a child born in a manger, you revealed your plan to us for how the world is to be changed, to be filled with the gifts that he brings of hope, peace, joy, and love. For Christ came down at Christmas. May his glory be revealed, and glory to him in the highest. Amen.